be able to do. So I wanted to come in and talk to you guys about a couple things today. The first, the OPEC-HC program and where it is and some of the changes that your members, your employees are experiencing since Saturday, and how those are working, why they occurred, answer any questions you might have, and then talk most importantly about how to make sure that the program as it is does what it's supposed to do. And it's hard enough to try to communicate. Oh, Lisa just left, but I think Lisa's been getting a lot of emails. Have those all been distributed to the members as far as...
I'm on the list too, and I try to send them out to all the departments.
Okay. Okay. How's it going with your members right now?
You heard anything about how it's going?
It's up and down. It just depends on what we've got. Subscription problems.
Okay.
The biggest concern right now is a guy going to have a kid that's already has some problems prior to birth.
Yep.
So we're dealing with that. We dealt with that today.
Okay.
Because it needs to be pre-approved because he has to go down to Cincinnati. It's just some things that, you know, it's more scary because it's so close to a baby being born.
I understand.
So, but other than that, luckily we're in that kind of season where I haven't heard anything terrible.
Well, so if it's okay, let me take a little bit of time and talk about the program and kind of timeline, walk you through where we are today. So the OPEC-HC program was, if you guys remember, was something that we all started together. And when I say we all, I'm talking about, you know, over 150 groups throughout the state came together, all clients of Ohio Insurance Services, and came together for a lot of reasons. Specifically, we're looking for claims efficiencies and access to better than average rates. And then I think most importantly back then, it was the ability to keep the type of plan designs we were on. So groups of Franklin Township size around the state have, unlike your group, these groups have transitioned several times in the last few years, and normally their plans have been reduced. Now, they can be made up sometimes by like funding accounts as we have here, but access to the benefits has been limited. So this program has allowed all of these groups to keep the plan design as it is. The coverage is the same, or even update them a little bit and streamline them, which I think we've worked to do here with some of the prescription drugs, if I recall correctly, and just work to make the plan work as well as possible for the membership. The first renewal we had going from 2015 to 2016, where I sat in front of every group that I was out there, and I said, listen, the things we love about this program, one of them is opportunity to try to smooth renewals. And we talked about average of high single-digit renewals, and the first renewal was a 25% for our groups, which was an eye-opener for our groups. There were a lot of factors involved in that renewal. Claims were higher than anybody had projected. It was a lot of that was caused by the market. But at that point in time, that is a really important date to remember as far as why we made this transition today. Because when we did that, and our underwriter at the time, which was the Jefferson Health Plan, they were the administrator for the OPEC-HC program, and they did all of our underwriting. You know, they were the ones that told us mid-single digits, tell your groups that's good, that's what all of our groups are experiencing, you should be the same. Then they came back and they said, okay, 25. And we explained, you know, the claims are the claims, we understand, our members will also understand, our members are getting a lot of value and service and benefit, but our members need to see more than just rate increases. They need to see us work to find cost containment measures, work to improve the program. They need to see it coming from both ends, not just hand out, but hand up too, right? So at that point, we worked with our administrator, and we actually first asked for some ideas, and we weren't getting any from them. So then we actually went out to the market. So we took some claims experience that we had access to, and we brought a few ideas to them. One of them was a switch to a prescription benefit manager called AproRx. Anyone familiar with that now? If you look at your card, your new cards, it says AproRx on it.
We didn't get ours. I've never seen a new card.
I emailed in, and they said they were working on him and Mr. Cook.
Oh, but the group got them. You're saying that specifically you didn't have one in there.
I didn't get one. I don't know anything about new cards.
These new ones.
How did you get this?
It came in a FedEx, two FedEx bags, and then Todd Broker brought them over here. He took his and he gave me mine, and then
so we overnighted. So we overnighted, and groups received them on Tuesday and Wednesday of last week.
Mm-hmm.
Your group received an overnight package with all the items.
Not with all of them, because obviously I didn't get one.
He didn't get one, and he didn't get one.
Okay.
And I emailed as soon as they told me they didn't have them. And then we talked to, wasn't it Becky?
Yeah, I emailed Becky and told her that they did not receive them, and she's sending them out ASAP.
Did you get one?
No.
Okay. Okay, no. Aaron didn't. Well, Aaron's new, so all of our new employees, they're going to be sending them out.
Okay.
Did you get one?
They're in the process of being.
Well, so that you know, I mean, we deal with 8,000 people getting these cards, right?
Mm-hmm. Somebody has to be the one that not got it.
What's that?
So somebody has to be the person that doesn't get it.
You got the control.
All I'm saying is that I'm handling as many problems as I can, but not getting cards hasn't been one that I've been hearing. This is the second time, not the first time. This is the second time I've heard of it. So we'll get you a card.
Okay.
No problem. And also, I can work to maybe do a temp card image that you can use in the meantime before your hard card comes.
I printed off the letter you sent me today.
That probably should work.
Okay.
I gave that to him.
Because I do have an eye doctor test. My yearly one coming up.
And I gave them to Erin, and she's going to make copies for every department in case they go.
Are you on our vision service plan?
Yes.
So this wouldn't do your eye doctor anyways. You just give them your social, and they'd look it up.
Okay.
They don't do cards for the vision service plan. So you just give them your social.
I just went and they scan or whatever. They
make it work.
I still have my old cards, too.
Well, if they have any.
I got rid of them.
If they
when they said they're no good, I just threw them away. Why are you hearing?
That's right. The old card is not going to do it.
You threw away your secondary card, too?
I threw away both cards.
I don't have my second. I have my secondary card.
We actually.
I kept everything.
Secondary card would still work, but we actually have a new one printed up for everybody in the group. We've already asked for that.
But, I mean, the thing is.
Your secondary card worked because you did not change the secondary insurance. Secondary insurance, don't have health.
That's
right. That one.
Yeah.
Is that secondary? Yeah. Yep.
I think that's the right card.
No, this is right.
Is it?
This is that work. The secondary plan?
This will work for secondary. The only... Yeah, no, it's fine. This will be fine for secondary. But we're going to get in a whole new run of these.
On the secondary card, it has that and dental. And they also told me it was 7 to 10 days for you to get your card.
So if anyone doesn't have a card and needs it, we'll happily get a card out to you. That shouldn't be a problem. And thanks for letting us know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm skipping ahead here, but there's a member support line that we've set up for this program because we knew we were going to have a lot of initial transition issues and hurdles. So we've hired a big-time team for member support in Westerville. We didn't go India or China or anything like this. In Westerville, Ohio. And it's a whole staff of nurses, trained nurses, that are helping all of our members navigate. And I think that was a really good decision in this program.
Do you know that number?
Yes, sir, I do.
888-502-5.
Yes, sir. And when you look on your cards, that number's on everything on this card. The doctors call that number. The members call that number. We've set it all to track through that. And it's nice because they're educated. They'll actually bring your real account up. And they'll understand what you're trying to do, and they'll walk everybody through it.
Mike, can I stop you real quick?
Yes, sir.
So when Chief Welch and I were talking to you the other day on the horn,
mm-hmm.
you said that our guys could call this number. That's a 24/7 number. Is that correct?
It's the same number, but keep going.
So, anyways, we had our guy call that number.
Yeah.
And they told him, "Well, you do the work." And we're like, "No." Brian said, "They are supposed to call to make sure it's good to go."
They are.
We got it figured out. It just took a couple days. But the first person he talked to was like, "No, we're not doing that." We're like, "Well, yeah, you are."
So one of the challenges is this was an existing group. It was called AIM. It's a group of nurses. And they had a script that was set up for most of their members.
Right.
And most of their members they'd have them call. Mm-hmm. Our members are a little different in the program that we're doing. And so they're working on figuring it out. That's not the first time that I've heard that. But I will tell you this, and this is probably the most important thing. Of all of our members, we have thousands of members. The biggest concern is you can't go to your doctor or you can't go to your provider or your facility.
Yeah.
We have not, after working through it, we have not had a single person that hasn't been seen.
Good.
Now, that does not mean we've gotten there without hurdles.
Oh.
We've had members that have gone into, And I'm just being real candid with you guys so that we don't have any surprises. We've had members that have gone in and given their card to an office, and the office staff says, we don't take this. So if you look, do you mind if I keep using this? So if you look on this card, up in this top corner, this PHCS. That's a network. That's a network like Medical Mutual, but it's nothing like Medical Mutual. This is a very skinny, limited network, and this is not what our members need to use. But if a doctor already has a deal with them, they're welcome to use it. I call it an overlay, but it's like a, this isn't the primary manner in which we expect our members to utilize the doctors.
MedMutual in the new world.
Well, and I'll get back to my story here and kind of explain reasons we're doing this, but your members can go to any provider. This program will pay any provider, whether they were with Medical Mutual or not with Medical Mutual.
And in any state, from what I read.
That's correct, in any state. And this is where it's going. We're probably a couple years ahead of it, and unfortunately we're facing the market challenges with being a couple years ahead of it, but your members can go anywhere. Now, how does it work when they go and they say, well, Brian said we can go anywhere, and they say, well, we don't take that. Can't go here, right? What we have to have the members understand is when they're in that doctor's office, could you please just give these guys a call? Because what happens is that doctor's office is going to call. They're going to first go to these nurses over in Westerville, and the nurses are going to realize that this is a doctor's office, and they're going to send them on to claim doc and what we call warm transfer, get a real person that answers the phone, and they're going to explain how we're paying. So we're doing something a little bit different on how we're paying here. And this is one of the market evolutions that I was going to try to get to in my story, but we're here now, so let's just do it. In the past, the network discounts that you get from a Medical Mutual or an Anthem or United Healthcare or an Aetna were pretty good in the marketplace. They were better than, like, if you just went in there, they were pretty strong. And what they did was these groups would organize a bunch of people and then go to a hospital or facility or doctor and say, hey, I've got all these people in your neck of the woods. Why don't you sign this contract and give us these rates and you'll get more customers? And that was the concept of a PPO network. And you liked it because you had access to these doctors at discounts, right, which was good for everybody, and it all worked out. Well, with the Affordable Care Act, something that happened to everybody, didn't happen to you guys, but it happened, when I say everybody, if you talk to 100 of your friends, right, and ask them, the amount of money that you owed towards your plan, you know, your deductible and coinsurance, your out-of-pocket, however much you could come out-of-pocket, was it more or less than it was 5 years ago? Was it more or less than it was when the Affordable Care Act really started to kick in? And I would challenge you that 90 out of those 100 people would say, it's way more. I mean, people used to have $250 deductibles, $500 deductibles, $15. Now most people have $5,000, $6,000 deductibles out of pocket. That's what we're seeing out there. So what's happened is when these people that have their...
If I may, doesn't our plan now have $5,000 deductible?
Yeah, it absolutely does. But then the township goes ahead and pays 100% of that. Okay. So your employees don't really have a patient responsibility.
Right. The reason that I asked that is because when I went to the doctor before, they're like, "Oh, you haven't met your deductible." And I'm like, I doubt if I ever will.
But you personally, yeah.
But, you know, because I've known that they said I had a $5,000. Mm-hmm. I said I do have a secondary.
That's right.
But go ahead.
No. Great point. So most employees, I call them patients, most patients going in, they don't have a secondary HRA that pays it down to zero. That's not just unique to Franklin Township, but that's awfully unique to public entities. But public entities normally have, you know, if you pull the townships and the villages and the cities across the state, they're going to have much better on average benefits than if you pull all the contractors and construction and oil change centers and call centers and, you know, just the private companies that we have around here. The public entities have better benefits. And that's part of the deal when you sign on in civil service. That's kind of part of the deal in most places. So anyways, back to where I am. The members are going in, the patients are going in, and they're having surgeries and visits, and they're getting bills for $5,000 that they didn't used to get. And I wish everybody had $5,000 sitting in a bank account just to stroke a check and move on. But the reality is, in the state of Ohio, the overwhelming percentage of patients that go in don't have the money to pay that. That's just a fact. And so what's happened is patients aren't paying their patient responsibility at the same levels that they were 5 years ago. And so what facilities, mostly hospitals, I normally don't say providers, because really providers are kind of in line with where they were 5 years ago. They're not really making a whole lot more or less. They're kind of on similar ground. But the hospitals, the facilities, the outpatient centers, what they've done is they went behind the scenes to Medical Mutual, to Anthem, to UHC, to Aetna, and they said, guys, we're collecting 15% to 20% of what we bill your members for their patient responsibility. We're losing money. That's not going to work. And they're not paying when we collect on them. Right? It's not going to work. So what they did behind the scenes is the carriers raised all the codes. You know, the code for a broken finger, and I'm going to make these numbers up, but the code for a broken finger maybe used to be $800. Now it's $1,600. So they don't collect from the member, but the insurance company pays every time. Right? When you bill Medical Mutual, when you bill us, we pay. So they got smart. Raise all the codes up, stack the discounts back down. When the insurance carrier pays, they're on the same profit model. Right. So we've become aware of that. And what we've done is said, listen, you're not offering our members discounts. So we were doing two things in this group of Medical Mutual. And this is something that's been real challenge in Central Ohio. You know, we've had many of the townships we've been doing business for a very long time say they're staying with the program, they're staying with Medical Mutual, they're staying with JHP. Which I personally think is a real big mistake. But it's a communication thing. We got to get out in front of all of them. We got to work with all of them. And we got to give them their options. You can't force somebody to do something. But we made this change because Medical Mutual, we were doing two things. We were renting their network. So we were renting their network, say, for $46 a month, per member per month. That's pretty darn accurate, is what we were paying for that. I know that number. It was like 46 and some change. And that gave all of our members access to Medical Mutual. So this was a challenge for us. If we were going to go away from this model, Medical Mutual might be the best network out there right now. I've said it for a long time. I've said Anthem and Medical Mutual are the two best networks out there. But they don't have everybody, right? So we worked it out. Our members need to be able to go anywhere. They need to go to anybody. So then the next thing is Medical Mutual adjudicated our claims. They processed our claims for us. So when you went into a doctor's office or a hospital, when they created that bill, they sent it to Medical Mutual, and Medical Mutual applied the discounts and then sent you and the office, the provider's office, an explanation of benefits. And it showed how much was being paid and how much you owed to them, right? So what we've done is we've done away with the network. We're going to pay anybody. We'll work with anybody on really good terms. And the next thing is we hired a company called Benovation to accept the bills, apply the discounts, and send out the EOBs. So a big thing we've gotten is, who's Benovation? We've never even heard of them. Are they even an insurance company? Well, they're a third-party administrator. They shuffle paperwork. They take the bills from the doctors, they create EOBs, they apply discounts, and they send the EOBs, just like Medical Mutual did for you. So we've set up a situation where members shouldn't lose anything. You shouldn't lose access to anyone, and you're still going to get your EOBs. But you're not familiar. There's not one of the big four carriers on there. But the reason we're going away from that is because what we found out is we can pay these carriers fairly and in a timely manner, and it's less expensive for our members. So the method that we're doing this, the calculation that we're doing this, is pretty simple. If a member goes into a doctor's office, the first thing we need to do is the doctor needs to know how we pay him, right? So they call us. And it's not really us. It's a company called ClaimDoc that we're working with. And ClaimDoc goes ahead and explains, okay, listen, our standard schedule is we're going to pay you 140% of Medicare rates. So all these docs are seeing members that have Medicare. Medicare's got a set rate for everything they do out there because it's universal codes. Right. We're going to pay them 140% of that. We have found that at 140%, it's a fair deal for everyone involved, and it'll actually cost our members a lot less because they're not paying the big spread, right? If the doc accepts that, which most of them do, we're golden. We move on. You get your EOB. Never pay anything that doesn't say member responsibility. And move on. If that doc says, no, I'm not accepting that, then we'll enter into it. We'll enter into an agreement with them. What would you accept? Let's work this out. How do we need to make this work? And we'll do that.
What leverage do you have?
Well,
say no.
What's interesting is providers' offices don't get paid very quickly by the major carriers. So here's a piece of the leverage that we have. Most of these providers' offices get paid in 60 to 90 days. Well, we pay our claims within the month. And we always have because we had to pay Medical Mutual or whomever we're working with. So, you know, when you pay your premiums, we have those dollars. We've set up a trust account with Benovation where those dollars set. And Benovation buzzes in that check and we'll pay them inside of 30 days, which they never get paid that fast. And so that's a huge cost item for providers' offices, that time waiting on their money. So normally what we're finding, and by the way, when I'm saying normally what we're finding, we have not had one case yet in our program. Now, by the way, that's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
But in over holiday. But we haven't had a case where a doc won't work with us. Now, sometimes they won't agree to terms immediately. But we'll say, you know what? You don't have to agree to terms right now. Just see our member. Right?
Well, that's my question. Let me interrupt you real quick. That's a question we're going to get from our guys when we go back to Firehouse. Mm-hmm. I've got a doctor's appointment scheduled Thursday. And we're playing a what-if game.
Yep.
And I go and I get my doctor. And you're saying all this needs to happen while I'm standing in the line at the doctor's office. And they say, you know what, Chaz, we're not going to see you today. And there's not another appointment for another month.
Yep.
And what? That's my biggest fear for our members.
It's a real concern.
Yeah.
That's a real concern. So what I've been telling members, if you know that you have an appointment, why don't you go ahead and call the member service line? I have a doctor's appointment. I'm very concerned they're not going to see me. Mm-hmm. Now, our member service support and what we're working on, they prefer that call to be made when they're in the office.
Okay.
Which sounds against what you'd want, right?
Yeah.
I'm not real comfortable with that yet myself. Everyone's learning here because it's an innovative program. We think it's the very best thing for our members. But I've been working with my members to call up in advance. I have heard that the member support has told some members, go in, present your card, have them call then. If you have a member that wants to get this done ahead of time, if you call me, I'll work with them to get the claim done, and we'll get that call out ahead of time. What's being said is that doctor's offices are much more interested in making it happen fast when the member's sitting right there. We have not had a member that's been turned away when they've called member support with them on the line.
Okay.
Now, we have had members, and I want to make this very clear, we have had members go in, present it, doctor's office says, I apologize, we don't take this, so if you want to be seen today, you need to pay up front.
Yeah.
And so that member calls us back and say they were turned away. Now, they weren't really turned away. They were asked to pay up front. But the next step that didn't occur there, which needs to occur, is actually, if you could please do me a favor and call, I was told that the only thing I would have to pay up front is my member
35.
Copay, if there is one.
My
and in those situations, we haven't had a member turned away or having to pay up front.
Okay.
And I should say, we've had members that have said that OhioHealth, which is the biggest, baddest group around here, right, in my opinion, OhioHealth is not going to see members unless they pay up front. We were able to get in touch with them today. I have an email, ClaimDoc. I say we, but ClaimDoc got in touch with them today. Ben is the owner of ClaimDoc. I've been working with him for over a year to put this together. This didn't happen fast. He is working directly with them. They've already said that they are willing to put what's called a single case agreement in place, which just means they'll do a one-off arrangement every time a member goes in, while working towards a full-on contract for all of our members. But again, the result will be members don't have to, they just pay their copay responsibility. The next question is, what if a doctor never gets a deal done, or doesn't accept the 140, right, doesn't accept the 140 of Medicare, and then just says, you know, I'm not doing a deal with you. Well, first off, we don't expect that to be the case, but if it is and a member gets balance billed, because the doctor's still going to bill us, right, because they want their money.
Yeah.
They're going to get the money we pay them. So let's say the doctor bills $500 and we pay them $300. I'm just making these numbers up. We pay them $300 and that doctor says, I don't have a deal with these guys. You know,
full amount.
You owe me $200 still.
Right.
Right? That's called balance billing. in this program, your members, our members, are not responsible for balance billing. We are.
So we send it in like the good old days.
You send it to us, and we're going to go ahead, and we're going to go ahead and go back. And what's going to happen is claim doc behind the scenes will go back to that doctor and say, hey, you balance billed our member. You're now working with us. We're their agents. Do not contact them again. This is the first step. Do not collect on them, and do not bill them again. But we can only do this if what happens? Your member sends us that balance bill.
Right.
Right? And at that point, they say, okay, let's work a fair deal out. And if we can't work a deal out, we pay the money. But the deals are working out, and everything's going smooth. What's happening is human error.
So you are telling us when we go to a doctor, it's our responsibility to do your job.
No,
that
sir.
That doctor says that card is no good to me. It's my job to contact you.
No,
why isn't that card good from the start? When I go to the doctor, why do I have to negotiate for you?
Okay. You do not need to go negotiate for us. You just ask your provider to call. So you don't have to call either. And the reason that we're doing this is because the PPO networks in the state of Ohio and really across the country, they're gouging our members and they're gouging our program. So what we're doing is we're putting a program together where everyone's going to get paid fairly, but if a doctor doesn't accept it right from jump, we need to contact them and we need to work it out with them. But we're not asking you to do that.
Who pays for our time off when we schedule time off and the doctor says we're not seeing you? I call you, you can't work it out. Who pays us?
It has not been our experience that that's been happening when doctor's offices are calling. We haven't had a member that's at a doctor's office that hasn't been seen when they call in. The only time that's happening is when a member goes in and the doctor says, I don't have a relationship with them, and the member leaves. If the member asks them to make the call, all of our members have been seen and then all claims are being paid. So we should not have a situation where someone wastes their time.
And the doctor says, I don't have the time, you fix it.
Usually the nurses call.
That has not been our experience, and that's not, I mean, these people want to see you. They want to make their money. They don't want to, because they've got that time scheduled too. They don't want to waste their time either. So I can understand why if that was happening, that would be a big problem, but that's not what's happening in this program. It is happening if a member doesn't know to say, you know what, could you please just call the number on the back of the card. The next piece is I'm working with all my members to call in advance. If you know you have an appointment, let's get a call in advance and let's get it worked out. Pre-authorizations. So we have members that are pre-authorized. We had a member who was pre-authorized for a brain surgery.
So we had said dealt with today with the baby.
Yep.
We're trying to get a pre-authorization.
Well, if they were already pre-authed?
They were not.
Okay.
That's what we dealt with today.
Okay. And how's it going so far?
I
think you'd be surprised at how well it goes.
I think it did go well, but they kept telling him to refer to your HR department at your township. We don't have an HR. It's obviously us.
Okay. Who was saying that?
That office, that doctor.
The 24-hour line.
Yeah, the 24-hour line.
Well, I got to be careful about that because it's not a 24-hour line. It's 9 to 5 for these live people that are going to help. The 24-hour piece is an on-call doc.
Gotcha.
So I want to make sure we don't tell people it's a 24-hour line because if you call in and try to get a pre-off at 12 at night, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That was just because his wife got a call today. That's what I told you about. They have to go to a lot of specialized care for this child.
Yep.
And they said, hey, you're not pre-authorized. And especially with this new insurance, you better get it figured out.
Yep.
Or it delays the treatment of this baby, which can create problems for the rest of the kid's life.
I think, and this is for any, it's not just because I'm sitting here in a special meeting, any situation like this, we've already worked it out, so this should go pretty darn smoothly. Here's my question.
Worst case scenario.
Yep. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's your kid.
Yeah, it's a bad one.
I've got three of them, and I love them. I love two of them a lot.
So he's freaking out with it, you know? So he's putting stress on us.
Are you going to try to sell the other one?
Are we being recorded?
Yeah.
Then no, I'm not going to try to sell them.
That's our concern.
Well, and it's a valid concern.
Yeah.
So the concern should be, are my members going to be able to see their docs? Are my members going to be able to get the facilities? Are my members going to be able to get the treatment they got? No coverage has changed. The coverage has not changed.
That's on time, everybody.
So if there was a code that was paid under the old program, it's paid under this program.
Right.
So there's nothing that would be approved on the old program that wouldn't be approved on this program. It's exactly the same.
Right.
You know, the docs, when you do the pre-approval, they need to agree to the terms that we're going to pay them. But again, the terms we're paying them are fair and they're fast, which is an advantage for them. So we're seeing it. This is called reference-based pricing, is the term. And reference-based pricing is something that we're going to hear a lot more of over the coming years. It's just we are throwing money away for the same services and the same drugs. And so we, in our program, because our program was running in a position of deficit, because every time we asked for a renewal, it wasn't doing what the underwriter said it was going to do, we were coming up to all of the groups making a decision at the end of this year whether they're going to stay or they're going to go. We knew we wanted to move this program, and the dollars on the table were significant. We saw dollars on the table of $90 per every member of every single group per month of fixed cost savings. So that's before a single claim occurs. $90 times how many people are here? 60?
Yeah.
Somewhere there.
Okay. 60. So to our program, if you were to leave and we had a deficit, you guys would all owe your portion of the deficit as you were to leave the program.
$6,500.
Yeah, $6,588 as of yesterday was the number. So if we can reduce that number by every single member by $90 per month over the next 6 months, and that's fixed costs, and then the projections are twice that in claims costs, it puts us in a position where the program is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And so that's one of the key reasons why we did this. Now the next thing is, how do you service through it and make sure the members get what they need? And that's the stage we're in right now. Unfortunately, we would like to be spending all of our time doing that. But unfortunately, we've got some competitors out there. You know, we had to fire our administrator, and they're trying real hard to get some of these groups to come with them. And so we're fighting that hard right now, and we're working with all of our members. We had Claim Doc up from, I don't know if it's up or over, but from Iowa today. They were in their office with their legal counsel going through everything and showing us. Because we're concerned, too. I mean, it's...
I have a question. Go ahead. Are you finished?
Never, but you need to interrupt to get in. I understand that.
One of the things you just said, that if we was to opt out, that we pay that fee.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world was it that the board signed that sent to you that said that we intend to opt out?
Oh, great question. Your notice of withdrawal?
Yeah,
same
thing.
No. I encouraged every one of my groups to submit a notice of withdrawal. And the reason I encouraged it is because you didn't have your renewal yet. And you were coming up on a July 1st deadline where if you pulled out at any point later in the year, or excuse me, if you pulled out after your contract was over but you didn't submit that, you would have had to pay a three-month premium penalty or assessment. It's not a penalty. It's a three-month premium assessment. So what I did is I told all my groups, listen, the board said that you can send this notice of withdrawal in, and then at any time before September 1st you can rescind that. That way it bought you 60 days to make some decisions on your renewal.
Right.
So that's what that form was.
So why didn't you send that to us to let us know? I mean, I never got anything in any of the emails that explained that.
I did. So we sent that out. I actually had a draft letter.
Right.
And explained exactly what that was about. But this was...
Who did you send that to?
It would have gone to your fiscal office.
And I printed it out and gave it to you guys at that meeting.
So when I came in for the meeting, we were given the stuff, say 6:30. This had to be decided by midnight because we had the next day to be able to do that.
Okay.
Don mentioned it the meeting before and everybody tabled it.
We sent that thing out probably, if I were to take a guess, which we can see the email.
Yeah.
If I were to take a guess, we probably sent that a month and a half out beforehand. I didn't put you in a spot there.
No, it wasn't available until...
The night of the meeting.
Yeah, what wasn't available?
As he took it to the attorney, didn't
he? I had every email that... No, he did not.
Oh, I thought he did.
No.
To explain it.
I did not. I mean, you had probably, I'm guessing...
I had 5 hours. Because the time we started talking about it was 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be very appropriate about this. I think this sounds like an internal issue, not a timing issue from us.
You're right.
I don't know what it was, but...
Do you hear what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
I think you probably had at least three meetings, if not four meetings. when you had that information. I also, when I sent that out, I requested the opportunity to have phone calls with every group and set up a call to review
so
that.
We had, and that, speaking of that, we had a meeting with you at 3 o'clock. And again, I don't know who canceled the meeting or why someone can't. Was you canceled on the meeting or did you cancel the meeting?
I did not cancel the meeting. I was told the meeting was not being held.
And who told you that?
I believe Trustee Cook told me that.
And like you said, this is internal stuff, but they're just trying to cause problems right now.
Well, I'm not getting into it. I'm just giving you my answers.
Just go ahead.
No one's trying to make... I'm just trying to...
You're making sure that I'm not... Not dropping stuff last minute on you or canceling meetings.
Right. I wanted to hear from you.
Yes, sir. One, I gave you guys a lot of meetings on that notice of withdrawal. It was sent in with plenty of time to go over that, and I invited an opportunity for a phone call ahead of time on that. And as far as us getting together to meet, I was told that a meeting went out, but nobody had responded and confirmed, and so that we weren't going to be able to have it held.
Well, the real matter of this issue, now I voted to opt out, I guess is what we call it.
Notice of withdrawal,
okay. However, that information that I gathered, and I agree that we did not, I mean, wherever the information was, I didn't have access to it until very near voting night.
Okay.
But the information, let me finish just a minute while I'm on the train of thought. The information that I was able to really drag out of this purely came from my discussion with Chief Welch and our legal counsel, Pete Griggs.
Yeah.
Okay, Pete, help me understand this. So he and I took 20-30 minutes on the phone here.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, I would have been essentially asked to vote for something I didn't understand. I still didn't understand it, but I had to, I guess you might say, put my faith in the information that Chief Welch had been able to gather and what information that Pete Griggs had been able to gather. In other words, we had no review time or what were I sitting here now talking to you about this prior, I would have wanted to know. But I went ahead and voted for the
notice of withdrawal.
And essentially, that was what's Brian doing here? I got to trust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fortunately, that notice of withdrawal is really just a technicality in the contract.
Okay.
The contract was set up so that you guys would have your renewal options prior to July 1st.
Okay.
The underwriter we were working with could not perform that duty. So the board, just like you guys sitting on the board said, this is not a fair position for our members to be in.
Right.
So let's do this. Any member that wants to say they're withdrawing can submit it, but if they choose that they don't want to, they can rescind it by September 1st and effectively buy in 60 days.
You can see why Mr. Stephen and some of the others were questioning some of these things, and I had the same question you guys had. How do I act on this? Fortunately, it sounded like I made the right choice.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think if you would have read the original emails that were coming out.
I don't know if I had it.
And,
really,
you know, maybe for this group, maybe for a while or until you say otherwise, maybe any communications go to all three trustees, fiscal officer, and department heads.
All of them went to Chief Welch.
And myself. And as soon as I got it, I sent it to everybody else.
They forwarded them to everybody else.
Because I said.
I didn't get those things together.
You sent them out?
Yeah.
Because as soon as I got it, that's when I sent it to all the department heads. And I said, who did this? Because I didn't understand it. And Don said he was going to explain it at the meeting I went to.
And on top
of that, that's when I started looking for Yuri. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that letter withdrawal, in my personal opinion, and I don't want to speak for you, but they were leveraging Jefferson Financial to come up with our projections.
Well, again, thinking it out, I believe that's what it was.
Well, I've never heard it put the way that you just put it, and it was, even when it was read here.
But it even makes sense
before,
now, really.
So that's why I was asking. So I voted no because of the fact that it was not brought to the board or read in an open meeting the way you just read the full thing and what it would be,
didn't have the information you needed.
Did you guys remember I passed out the email that Jefferson had sent? and then their email rebuttaling some of the things that they were saying was not true.
I have every email here.
I gave it to you at the meeting. I gave all three of you, and you said, I already have one.
Let's get back to playing.
But, I mean, it's good to understand what's going on.
Well, and here's the thing, guys. In the past, I've always had the luxury of, you know, your renewal comes out, we kind of get together as department heads to talk about it, come out here and present. This Affordable Care Act has really been a shakeup over the last few years. And we just moved over 150 groups all at once. So I hope these things don't cause cancer when you're on them, because I've been on my cell phone absolutely nonstop for the past, you know, 2 weeks. But I'm doing my best. I'm out here right now. I'm out in front of you in your special meeting. I'm answering any questions. I will answer them to the best of my ability. I truly believe in the program we're moving to. It is very misunderstood. We're trying hard to communicate to the members exactly what this means and how to use it. And the gentleman behind Chaz, this is very common on how members are feeling about this right now. Why do I have to do your work for you? Let me give you another example of that. We want to get everybody deductible credit, right? If anybody's had any claims this year, we want to make sure they're credited so they don't have to pay it twice, or so the township doesn't have to pay it twice. Well, normally a medical mutual would go ahead and just give us that information in one report. Very simple. We've done it thousands of times, literally thousands of times. We had to terminate the relationship with the Jefferson Health Plan. They held the contract with medical mutual. Medical mutual's being, that information's kind of being held. I don't want to put any words in anybody's mouth, but we've got a tough situation. So we've asked all our members to submit EOBs to us.
On this part here, I did it today, and I had to help Chaz do it.
Yep.
Because it's not easy.
Because I'm going to have to explain to all the guys,
yep,
hey, this needs done.
If you want this to happen,
yep,
I would recommend.
We have a meeting Friday.
I would send somebody here.
Oh, we could do that.
I would send somebody here for 3 days straight.
Done.
And walk him through it, because
I'd be willing to do that.
I'm not going to be able to explain it. He's not going to be able to explain it.
It's not that hard, but it will be, because there's enough questions in there.
I'd be willing to do that.
And I was funny, because it was my beta test, and I kept, hey, Chief, I'm not supposed to do here.
I sent emails to do this. He got stuck halfway through.
We were all given that paperwork on Friday and said it had to be done by July 1st.
Well, and this is something that we sent that out. I don't believe it was Friday, but it was too short. But here's the thing: a lot of people read that and thought if you don't have it in by that date, you don't get the credit. That's not at all how it was intended. You can get that to us at any time.
It did say July 1st.
Oh, I know. I typed it.
Okay.
With my fingers.
Right.
So,
Brian, the way I read it, it said in order to be able to access Medical Mutual's thing, it had to be done by July 1st.
We had a concern because of what was going on that possibly Medical Mutual would close that.
They were going to shut it down.
They did not. Now, since then, we've entered into talks with Medical Mutual. I have a meeting. Frank, myself, and Megan have a meeting with Amber Hume, who is, one, a personal friend of mine, but two, she is head of the government division for Medical Mutual in Ohio. We're going to sit down. There were some misunderstandings. We've had a long-term relationship with them through this whole process. They thought we were in a little different position than we are with their company. And I think we're going to be able to ease some of this for members. I'm hoping that we can come out and say, listen, we're going to be able to get deductible reporting for everyone. We
don't see Med Mutual being a dog in the fight. I mean, they're a third-party mutual.
Their problem is they can't break a contract with the Jefferson Health Plan.
Yeah, we got that last Friday. It was due Saturday. Melissa helped us, five of us. She's worth her weight in gold, what she did to us.
Okay.
But my question is, my wife had surgery last Wednesday.
Yep.
She's going to have surgery tomorrow.
She's
ongoing. Should I leave it to the old card, or do I go in tomorrow when she has her surgery and say, guess what? Things have changed. Use this.
The best thing that you could do right now when we leave this meeting, the best thing you could do is call this member support line and explain the position that you're in, and they will most likely reach out to the provider. What we're doing is any pre-authorization, so to have a surgery, you had to have that pre-authorized with Medical Mutual.
Right.
Anything that was already pre-authorized with Medical Mutual, we're going to pay on that schedule and that pre-authorization, so the provider shouldn't care. We just need to talk to them. And so what you can do, just to smooth it over, is you can, and that's not a good choice of words. What you can do to take care of it, excuse me.
No, that's not good.
What?
I know. You're stuck, man. You're stuck with it.
Spend it on
what's
going to
make it easier.
Thank you. If you'll go ahead and call that member support line and explain what's going on, they're going to be able to walk through and get it taken care of.
Thanks.
If for some reason it's not, could I give you my cell phone number right now?
Is there any members that has jumped out of this and paid the fees? And
I'll write it down.
Yes.
How many would you say?
Tessa will write it down. She's going to need it.
Oh,
too.
You got it? 614-595-9492.
And your name?
Brian.
Brian.
It's no problem. Brian. My name's Brian Savage.
Well, we brought up. He brought up an issue there. Why are we having to pay our township employees to do people do our people's medical?
It's just temporarily, I think.
Work for them. I mean,
you shouldn't. You
know, she shouldn't be sitting in there doing 5 hours work or something in favor of an insurance claim, for God's sake.
It wasn't an insurance claim, Ralph. What it ended up being when we all got the paperwork, like I said, we got it on Friday, and the way we read it said, you better have the stamping done by July 1st.
Okay.
So everybody's panicking.
I didn't even do it
I did one upstairs,
okay.
And as we're trying to do it, everybody's trying to figure out how to do it. Melissa figured out how to do it, so we offered to help the other guys get it done.
It was a quick thing.
It wasn't a five-hour thing. It was a quick thing that needed to be done so we could get it faxed to the office.
Okay.
But it just seemed like we was under the gun, so everybody was scrambling to try to get it done.
Okay.
It was a blow it out of proportion.
Well, I'm not trying to blow anything out of proportion. I just don't want our employees sitting here tying ourselves up.
It's understandable.
Insurance claim, but we have to have someone to speak with.
I would be.
Let's not get upset about things here.
I
don't want to let our clerks get dragged in. We need a source to call to get information. If the man gives us that, then that's what I want used.
She's
purity.
She's being.
I'm not forgetting your question.
Teresa will be
we have a couple
doing
people
that's
on
why she,
well,
she asked. She's yeah. learning.
It's the answer to get, really. I don't like that.
Okay.
They couldn't get that done by the first.
That's fine.
But we're still good to get it in.
That wasn't a hard date.
Okay.
Honestly,
okay, so
I mean, this is how it went down. We all work with people, right? We all have bosses in life.
Right.
I'm typing this thing up, and I typed it a little bit softer. You know, could you please get this in as soon as you can? In order to get credit, we need this information. And Frank walks by and says, just put a date on there. More people are going to get it in. And I wrote it. He said, can you put that bold? I'm like, yep. He's like, can you make it go a little sideways? I'm like, italics? Yeah. And I did that. So
I gotta get mine in.
Get it in when you get it in. Here's the thing. If somebody goes in and has a procedure before getting it in, it's gonna be a mess.
Right.
Really, it just needs to be in before you have a procedure.
Okay.
So that we can account for that.
Gotcha. Easy
peasy. Question. Members. So we had about 157 members in this program. We knew several members were leaving no matter what in this program.
Groups.
There's always the same members, right? We knew some were going to leave. There were, I believe, about 18 groups of the 157 that took this opportunity to leave. But it's interesting, since they communicated that, now we've had a few of them already come back and say, actually, we think we want in this thing.
So there's 18 groups, and out of the 18 groups, how many total members?
I don't have that number off the top of my head. I could take a wild guess.
Sure.
If you'd like me to. I bet of those 18 groups, I bet there were about 800 members.
Okay.
If I were to take a guess.
18 groups decided to leave or stay.
Leave. So what's that, 100 and the other thing is, it's interesting, some of these groups made that decision on some misinformation. So there was another group, the Jefferson Health Plan, the group that we terminated. They had some brokers sending out information saying, no, you can stay with us. And that word stay, you got to be real darn careful about saying stay. Because our program, all of our groups have contractual liabilities to the claims.
Right.
So if one of the groups leaves and you stay, right, and they don't pay their contractual liability, then they just stole from you, in my opinion.
Well, there's no way for us to, from what I've looked at this 9 different ways, there is never a way for us to leave without paying.
That's not accurate.
How do we leave without paying?
You have a program that doesn't have a debt or deficit in.
Do what now?
So the only reason, like if you were to leave at the end of your contract, which is up January 1st,
okay,
of 2018,
okay,
the only reason that you would have to pay any money is if there was a claims deficit, if there was a debt, if the program was in the red rather than the black.
I see what you're saying, and where are we at now?
Right now we are in the red, and that's one of the reasons that this underwriter, that the Jefferson Health Plan, was terminated. Was because every time we had a renewal, we were asking for ways to operate this program more efficiently with an increase, and they were saying, with this increase, the program will be in a solvent and positive position by this date.
And they were lying.
And that, well, I don't think they were lying, they just were wrong.
They were just plain wrong. I can
they
see,
didn't have their
it
figures.
It appeared to me you were about 20% under what you needed, or 17 or somewhere in that proximity.
Well, I can tell you this. So we looked at the numbers with
it is what I call it.
There's two things. It's either underfunded or it's too expensive.
Exactly.
And so we wanted both. When we asked our members for increases, which the underwriter said we needed, we also wanted to show our members ways that we are working to drive the cost of the program down. With this partner, we were unable to come to that arrangement at any time. We were even bringing these ideas to the table to them. So in 2016, I personally gave a presentation to the Jefferson Health Plan that said, listen, here's a way that our members can have the same drugs they're on, same prescriptions, same copays, no changes, and we can save over $700,000.
Right.
Anybody think $700,000 is chump change?
No.
Yeah.
Well, instead of them saying, yeah, and by the way, they've got lots of school systems and lots of other groups. We're the largest group. Are all of these, this cooperative we have, we're the largest group inside of their consortium. But they've got lots of others. And they said, you know what? We don't do any one-off deals. Everyone in the consortium uses the same. We're not going to do that. And I said, well, hold on. We're your largest group. I believe our members would like to do this. If it shows savings for them, you could even do it with the rest of your group.
Yep.
Right? Give me an opportunity. We just hammered our members with a 25% increase. Mm-hmm. Give me an opportunity to show them we're not just hand out, but we're trying to fix it too. Well, what we got in return was we got shut off from all access to claims data.
Right. And that was through MedMutual, you got shut down?
That's right, through Express Scripts and CVS Caremark.
So if I'd ask you now for a claims run on this group, could you furnish it for me?
We were just finally able to get that. We were finally able to get that probably 6 months ago. And that's how we were able to tighten up the rest of this deal.
Well, I'd like to ask for a claims run, if we could get one.
Yeah, so the claims run is for the entire, it's the aggregate group, it's for all 150.
I understand.
Yeah, so you'd like to have an idea what the claims came in at?
Exactly.
I'd be willing to do that. I don't think there's any reason why I would hide that information.
I think it'd give us a little more things to take a look at in the next couple
so,
of weeks.
I have another question. What are you saying?
How long would it take you to get that?
Well, I can just show you the type of the claims run that we use to get the quotes on all this. But remember, that's an aggregate claims run. So that's for 157 groups.
Right. Okay.
So I don't think that that's going to help your individual group.
It may not.
But I have the info.
Exactly.
And I don't have any problem sharing it.
Right. Okay.
One thing that we're really working towards is this relationship, it lacked transparency. And it caused a lot of problems for our members. And it wasn't from us.
Exactly.
And I'm willing, if there's anything I can share, I'm willing to share it because I'm real proud of the decisions that are being made at this point.
Can I jump in, Brian?
Yes, sir.
Change speeds for just a second. Let's go to the secondary insurance. I'm asking all the questions that I'm getting asked.
Yeah, good.
So obviously over the last few months, we've had some significant changes with your process on reimbursements. You just had some, you've had some turnover, and it's created a little bit of a problem with guys getting reimbursed for prescriptions.
They were coming out as fast.
Sometimes not at all.
Okay.
I mean, you know that. I'm sure you've got enough calls from Scooter that you could probably...
I didn't actually hear from.
Oh, you didn't? No.
Oh, my God.
Called everybody else down there. Anyway.
Mr. Complaint.
Do you see that kind of getting a bit better here?
Yeah, so Polly McCardle has taken over that position, and she's really dove in. She's working Saturdays. She's coming in early. She's dug it out to the point that we're right back now on top of it.
Kind of where, I hate to say it, what normal is there? I mean, because Norma had it. It was pretty well squared away with Norma.
Well, first off, your group got some awfully nice treatment.
Yeah, we did. We did.
I mean, it would be like, you know,
sure,
be like your best friend.
I guess kind of my question is, if you're willing to come in for those 3 days and talk about the plan, would you go over that once again, the process? Because we were getting like, hey, you can email it to Polly, or you can fax it, and then sometimes people aren't getting responses either way. Okay. So I think if we could bring that up, if you have an opportunity to talk to
Maybe I'll even bring Polly in.
That would even be better. So people have an email address, have a phone number, have...
Let's try to set up a few employee meetings.
Yeah, great.
And let's get some people out here. And anybody that hasn't got their EOB in, maybe I can have somebody out that would be willing to help look those up.
That would be awesome.
On our dime, on our time.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Going back to January 2018... Let's say it's showing a deficit. Mm-hmm. We want to opt out, but we're going to have to pay $6,000 per person.
Well, and hopefully because of these moves, first off, we know that that amount's going to go down about $90 per member per month from now until then. We also know that claims are going to be significantly less. We also know that some groups have left, and those groups that left have to pay a 3-month assessment of their claims, of their premium, which goes straight towards those claims. So that helps the entire group. So I think you'll see that number, that 6588 number, be drastically reduced by that time. But if you choose to leave, that is what you'd have to pay.
Okay. So we're at January 18th, we see that we're going to have to pay because we're in the red instead of the black or whichever way you said that. We wish not to sign a contract because we will continue to pay until we see, if we sign a contract for another year, if it's the very next month, it goes back up. Or
yep.
We could have walked out with no cost,
yep.
Nothing.
Yep. So previously the contract was 3 years.
Correct.
None of my members want to do another 3-year deal because they're concerned about the deficit, the debt. So I'm being told by the attorney it's the correct way to say this, and neither of those is the correct way to say it. The correct way to say it is the deficiency amount. But it's the same thing. It's claims that didn't get paid that we borrowed money from the Jefferson Health Plan. Exactly. You can call it a debt, a deficit, a deficiency amount. I don't care. Yeah. But we're working to knock that down. But it's going to be a 1 year. Everyone's going to be doing a 1-year agreement. Now, by the way, the board has not approved that yet. That's at the next board meeting. It's one of the things needed. We need a new member agreement. There's some things in that member agreement that are not palatable, that my members are not going to accept at this stage in the game.
One of the things that I'm concerned about, even with the 1 year, because if we choose to get out of this so that we're never in this situation again where we would owe $350,000, potentially $380,000, if we walk out. So, like, for instance, February, March, we look at it, the numbers have switched. Had we not signed, we could have walked away and then decided what we want to do with another plan.
So I'm gonna.
That's where I'm at with that, because we're forced that we can never walk away debt free.
Well, again, the program is intended to run without a debt or a deficit. We're working towards that. That wasn't something that we tried to accomplish. We're not trying to trap members in this.
But we are trapped. That's where we're at.
If you'll do,
go ahead,
John. We've always had a great relationship, but let me at least finish the answer for you. So we're doing all of these moves to get to that position. We're not going to be in that position in 6 months. So I'm not telling anybody that we're going to be debt free in 6 months. That's not going to happen. But you should be able to see by then what's going on, right? The next thing you should be able to tell is my job is to put you in a position where you understand the market. Meaning, even if you're not going to leave this, what could you go to? What's out there? I mean, what if I brought you something that looked just the same and it cost half as much? You'd happily stroke the check and leave, right?
Well, it depends on what the fee is to leave, if it's going to balance out.
But it's my job to show you what's available, what the cost to leave would be, and what your options are so that you can make an educated decision.
Right.
Now, part of that decision is, and I believe, the board hasn't voted on it yet, but I believe the board's going to make this a 1-year commitment rather than a 3-year commitment. But if the program really goes and tanks at that point in time, any month you could leave, but you got to pay your portion of the deficit, debt, deficiency amount, whatever you call it. And if you leave during a contract, It would be an unauthorized withdrawal, and you owe 3 months of your premium, too. So that's something you have to factor
so
in.
What happens, so even if we don't resign, we still got to owe.
If you choose to leave...
No, not leave. We just choose to discontinue paying without being under contract, just like you do with cell phone.
It doesn't work that way. If you've got our coverage come January, you accepted a renewal. So we're going to give you a renewal, which we already launched the renewals. Did you see what those were? It's a 7% renewal. Or if you think that your group's not properly underwritten, you can ask for a custom renewal. But asking for a custom renewal is foregoing the 7%. It's saying... And by the way, why would you do that? Well, I'm going to show you other options in the market. If they're all coming in at 30% less than what you have, I'm going to tell you to opt for the custom renewal so that we can go and see you rewrite it and try to lower it. Right. But a lot of groups are finding the 7% to be less than what's available in the market to them. But I'll be able to show that to you before you need to make a decision. So you'll be able to make the decision that's in the best interest of the township with the information that I provide to you. But there's not going to be... You either are accepting a renewal or you're not renewing with us.
Exactly.
There's not a position where you're hanging on the fence.
Well, I think all renewals are a minimum of 1 year anyway, aren't they?
Yes.
And that's standard throughout the industry. If you go... Let's take like your Medicare, Medicaid, all that type of thing. I know they're set on 1 year renewals.
I know what you're asking.
Exactly.
I know what you're asking. May I answer?
Nothing changes. You sign up for your program for that year, it carries through to 12 months later, and
yep.
They renew. And
so
renew
rates. Yeah. Rates are always traditionally based on 12 months.
Exactly.
But in a fully insured market, like when you were with Anthem or Medical Mutual, or Assurant before, I think those were the three that we were with here.
Right.
Yeah, we got
those are rates they gave you, but you could break that contract and go to somebody else. Okay. They guaranteed you those rates for 12 months, but you didn't guarantee to be with them for 12 months.
Right.
Our program's a little different because we're not fully insured. We're not some huge insurance company. We're a bunch of townships, villages, and cities, and we need to know that the members on, we can count on them for the term of the contract.
So basically, your consortium came in and said, hey, we've got this 3 year available. You want to jump on board and that kind
of thing? We gave you a 2.5% reduction when you came on board and an 18-month rate guarantee. Rather than 12.
Mm-hmm.
So that 25%, that wasn't a 12-month renewal. That was 18 months. And by the way, those are off your rates from 2013. You know, your group's average, when it's said and done, your group's average probably right around a 10% renewal, which isn't that bad in the market.
Right.
But and your rates look really good in the market. We just need, to Trustee Fleshman's point, none of these groups want to be in a program that's dragging a debt along.
Right.
Because it's like handcuffs.
Exactly.
And so what you can see in these moves that we've just made by firing this administrator, by accessing these same coverages in a more efficient manner, we're doing everything possible on our end to operate the program in a position of surplus so that when groups want to believe me, it's the worst position we can ever have for an unhappy group to feel stuck. Because then we're dealing with law directors and lawsuits and litigation. And we've never had to deal with that before. And now we are dealing with some of that. And it's specifically because of the situation. Unfortunately, we attribute most of that to the underwriter that we terminated. The other thing that's crazy is we couldn't have done it without them. You know, these guys provided the it was like an incubator for our program. Well, now we have mature claims. Now we can go out to market. Now we found... I'll give you a great example. So... Stop loss insurance is actually a really simple concept. It took me a little while to learn it, but I could teach everybody in this room in 1 minute what stop loss insurance is. We buy, and we bought from the Jefferson Health Plan, what's called $150,000 specific. And that means every member in our program, if they hit $150,000 in claims that year, any other claims would go to the Jefferson Health Plan. It wasn't our responsibility. So it was like reinsurance. It was like catastrophic reinsurance at $150,000 per person. So we were set to renew that contract for $146 and some cents per member per month with the Jefferson Health Plan. Once I got our claims run about 6 months ago, it might have been a little bit longer than that, but once I got our claims run and shopped the market, We found a very reputable risk insurer called Creative Risk Underwriting out of Atlanta. Very good outfit. They did the same deal for us at $82.44 a member. So that's part of that $90 per member per month in fixed costs. So that was a place that we, because of the relationship we had, we were burning money. We were throwing away money for our members. So as soon as we could get access to our claims, we went out and shopped it, and it showed that it was a better deal. We showed a lot of things being a better deal. And so we expect this contract that we put together, we expect to see some substantial changes in what's happening. But most importantly, we got to make sure the members are taken care of. We got to make sure the members can see their doctors, their claims are paid. And you're going to have members that say it's a debacle.
Right.
But my commitment to you is you get that member to me, and it will go away. It'll be taken care of. But if I sat in front of you and said you're not going to have problems, that's a flat lie.
Right.
I know with your members. I know your members. We know your members well. I can probably name 40 of them. And you guys have great great members here. But they don't want their insurance benefits messed with. And they don't want to have to deal with this stuff. And unfortunately, some of the changes we made are going to leave it on them for a little while, but it's not really. If they feel like that and they get it to us, we're going to take care of it. But your members are going to feel that way, and we got to service through it. You know, the alternative, we've had some groups, to John's point, we've had some groups choose to leave our program. Now, I don't think all of them really understand that they're leaving our program because there were some really tough communications out there.
Exactly.
I'm not going to put words in anybody's mouth.
And all leaves are not good leaves either. So we got to really analyze it. It's
a stuff. So one of my comments is, if we know that we're $90 more efficient in fixed costs and more than twice that in claims costs, everyone's so worried about having Medical Mutual that a lot of people are making some rash decisions to leave this program.
Mm-hmm.
What I would tell you is, you guys can leave. There's no deadline to leave this program like these members have. You can leave tomorrow. You can leave next month. You can leave 3 months from now. It'll be no different to you. Now, hopefully every month that price to leave will go down. Right? Because that's what we did this for. But if we don't come through on what we said we're doing here, leave. But in the next 6 months, we're going to reduce that deficit. We're going to reduce that debt. So if any members don't want to leave then, it'll be less than if they left now. But give us an opportunity to take care of your people. And I think
it looks like it would be 2 years for us because, like you said, January, there's no way that the deficit's going to be worth where if we wanted to leave.
Well, it should be.
Well, and here's the other thing, and I'm not trying to sell somebody else's opportunity,
right?
But the Jefferson Health Plan's out there telling people, come to us, we'll finance that debt for you over a while.
Finance it?
Well, and that's my word. That's not their word. That's my word. But what they'll say, what they're saying is they'll spread it out for you. Well, I've got a different concept. Why don't you let us pay it down with efficiency so you don't have to pay it?
Exactly.
I agree. I'm not.
Well, I'd like you to tell some of the other townships in Central Ohio about that.
This is the first time we got into a situation. I remember when this came around. This is the first time we've gotten to a situation where if we wanted to leave somewhere where we had handcuffs on. We kind of knew that going in, but if you remember that, you know, as you're talking, you didn't see any way that would ever be. And I understand.
I will absolutely attest to that.
We still went ahead and took your word, and we went to that. But where I'm at is, obviously, I'm not about to bow out and owe $380,000.
Yeah.
But what I want to make clear is, we have no choice come January to at least sign 1 year because it would be foolish of us to say we're going to jump out because we have a deficit in front of us.
Yep.
So, you know, it may be another 3 years before we could possibly get out.
Well,
if we want to get out, because I don't want to see this township be put into a position where we sign something like that where we have that over our heads.
Well, may I say one thing before I forget? One, you're right, and I did it with hundreds of groups across the state. When we talked about all the things that could happen. We came up, what if we don't have enough money? What if we're in debt? And I said, well, everybody would owe their portion of it, right. But I don't see that happening.
Exactly.
And you put me on the recorder. I know exactly what I said, and I meant it. I felt that way. I also didn't see a bad partner and an underwriter, and I also, you know, there was a lot that happened. We're fixing it. But the next thing that I was going to say is this. In my opinion, you're half right when you say that. that you wouldn't leave because you'd have to pay.
Exactly.
Well, but the it wouldn't be foolish if you had an opportunity that was better that made sense to pay to leave.
Well, obviously,
but if there isn't an opportunity that much better, then you're actually probably in a pretty good place.
Yeah, we just have the savings of $400,000.
Well, here's what I will tell you. We went from when I earned this business back in, 2009. Mm-hmm. 2009 is when I earned this business. Mm-hmm. I showed your group a way with Anthem to get a higher deductible plan to reimburse the members back and save a ton of money. We did it. We captured that money. Then as your renewal increases started coming, we renegotiated every time. We switched to Medical Mutual. We beat them down every single time. We kept these rates low, low, low for what you were getting. Then I brought an opportunity to you. I said, you guys aren't going to like this company. This company, Assurant, you're not going to like them a whole lot, but trust me. We took a 30% decrease when we went with Assurant. And the reason I said trust me is I knew we were coming out with this program. We'd lock those rates in and get you back with a good network, which we did with Medical Mutual. I've done a lot of stuff to lead this group where I thought it was right. I admit 100% I did not expect to have a deficiency balance here. I didn't expect to have a deficiency balance, but we're doing the right things to correct it. And I hope I've earned a little bit of trust along the way. I've worked. I think your rates for what you get are very good in the market.
I feel a lot of those groups that got out, they're going to come with their tails behind them, and they're going to want back in.
Well, I'd never put it like this. I think we're building a really good program, and I hope very much that they... I think some of them might not even end up leaving now, because I don't really think they totally understand it.
Probably they won't if they're a little more informed either, but and on the reality is, you know, when you got into this, you probably would expect to lose some along the line, but...
We expected to lose. Yes, sir.
If you do the right thing, well, they'll come back.
That's what we're looking for, Jeff.
Eventually, the ones that are going to go now to Assurant, they're going to go into the
rent. To JHP. Yep. Well, they're not doing anything different for them. Their claims are still going to be high. Their drug spend is still going to be high. And their costs to their fixed costs are still high.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what they're going to do is they're just going to raise their rates, raise their... Also, they left without a renewal.
Yeah.
They don't even know what the renewal is. You know what your renewal is here.
The only thing that I know, John, at this point now, first of all, our contract with you does end at the end of this year or following year?
This year.
This year.
This year.
This year. December 31st, 17.
So, you know, if we get, you know, if he furnishes us with a plane, sort of plane run or this, that, and the other, we do a little looking and checking and everything. We do have 6 months or so.
Yeah, and you'd want to make a decision like Don said. You want to make a decision well before.
Well, yeah.
Because Don hit it on the head. You got 60 days.
Yeah.
Really, what, 57 days?
That's right.
Withdraw that.
Because you got to rescind that letter.
That's right.
So it'll be my...
Don't cancel any. I've been pushing for an insurance meeting, and we canceled one. I don't know why we just...
I haven't been the easiest to get out here, but that one meeting, I just don't think everyone communicated real well to say they could make the meeting. But
I wanted to sit down before then.
When are your upcoming meetings? Why don't we just put it on the books
right
now?
Next Thursday.
Well, I'm not going to have your quotes ready by then.
We have a meeting every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks?
Yeah. We permit Thursday.
Well, frankly, I'd rather have you come on not a general meeting.
Oh, just do a special?
Yep.
Yes.
Fine. I like it, too, because I don't have to be here at 7:30 at night or whatever.
You know, spend the minimum 2 hours and all everybody's head clear.
Good.
You call us when you get the quote.
Yes, sir.
Try to set up a meeting.
Yes, sir. And we might do form fire, if you don't mind, with your members.
I think we need to. It's time to reevaluate. Our demographics have changed tremendously over the last 3 years.
Let's do form fire, and let's get some real specific quotes. You know, there's two programs out. Medical Mutual has a program, and Anthem has a program that are... they're MIWA programs for groups that are underneath 50 members, which you're not. You don't meet that demographic. But we're using FormFire to quote those. But now UHC all of a sudden said they'll start quoting off of health risk questionnaires. Some things are changing in the market. Let's just go. Let's act like we want to leave this thing, and let's go for the best rates, and then let's see what's out there and how it compares, and then see what you know to leave, and let's make an educated decision. I mean, this isn't the only program we have, but in my gut, I think you're going to find your rates for the program you have are really strong.
So in other words, we could end up back with Medical Mutual again.
You could.
Even though we just left.
You could, but I don't think you will.
Okay. On the backside of this, all those groups that's leaving right now, if there's more than a 20% companies that leave, what's the surcharge for the rest of the companies?
No surcharge for the rest of the companies that stay. There's an additional charge for those groups leaving. So if over, and I thought it was over 25%, but it may be 20. But if a high number of groups leave, which could happen. I mean, when we did this, we wouldn't be surprised if 30% of the groups leave.
We've heard a lot.
But that doesn't even surprise us.
Yeah.
Because there are groups out that, you guys I don't believe are one of those groups, but there are groups out there that you can't be right for everybody all the time. These groups have been in this for 3 years. It's been a tough run for some of these groups, some of the renewal increases, and some of them just don't want to deal with it anymore. I don't blame them. But it's silly to me that any group would leave without seeing what all their options are. This was a knee-jerk reaction by some of these groups. They don't even know what their rates are going to be next year, and they don't know what deal they're going to have on this money.
Absolutely.
My groups are going to know before they make a decision. And if you have a better opportunity, I don't blame you for taking it. But to answer your question, what it does, and I'm not sure if it's 20 or 25% leave, but it increases the amount of reserving that they have to pay in by 25%. So, and that's a big ticket item.
And, you know, somebody leaving a group, history means a lot in the insurance business. And if you've got to run even 3 years, you know that's worth something.
Well, that's a really good point that not many people bring up. We have a maturity level in this group that we know what's going and what can be done. I think my groups that stick with this thing are going to be happy in the long run.
I do too. But yeah. I'm worried about the penalties here because
Don't get any penalty from groups leaving.
There is money that's hanging out there.
Right.
Let's say a big department leaves, they refuse to pay the $6,500 per employee.
Yeah.
But the good part is you owe that money to Jefferson.
That's right.
Right.
So if you get in litigation, that money's just tied up between you and Jefferson.
Exactly.
Anyway.
That's right.
So we don't owe that.
That's right. And what we're basically, the stance we're taking right now, and we've worked with, you know, our attorneys, the stance we're taking is any group that decides to perform an unauthorized withdrawal, that's the term, which means leaving at any time before the first, January 1st, then they owe, you know, the $6,588 plus the reserving plus their 3 month. And instead of trying to collect it from the group, we're just going to strike it right off any amount our members owe to Jefferson Health Plan.
Gotcha.
Let them figure it out. And our attorney feels very strongly about that, that that's the right way to handle it, and it's the best thing for our members.
Frankly, I can't imagine. What is it? It's the fifth year the township's been on your program, or
3 years.
Well, so you guys started in 14.
Right.
So 3.5.
So it will
You started in 2009 with us.
4 or 5 years by the time we run this year.
To run the next year out to be 4.5 years.
4.5. So
we're building something.
Yeah, point being, you got, you know, 4+ years history. And
we've got something.
I you know, unless there's some miracle comes along, I can't see you going out on the market and getting anything any more efficient.
Yeah,
you
know, but as a public official, and as being taxpayer dollars, you're doing the right thing to get those quotes
so that you can show.
Exactly. And I want you to, too, because I want to know. Because here's the thing. If you guys are really out of whack on your underwriting, I don't want to lose you.
Exactly.
So let's go to the underwriter and say, hey, listen, this group's going to leave. Yeah. They could pay the, and I'm using your figure, I didn't add it up, but they could pay the $350,000 that John Fleshman uses a figure, and there's one out. The underwriter might say, well, you know what, I believe they're probably paying in more than they need to anyways, let's go ahead and give them a 8% reduction.
Yeah,
you know, and it makes that work. So that's what we're going to do. And I appreciate you having me out here. My biggest concern is not how the business works out. I believe the business is going to work out fine. My biggest concern is helping your members, because this is impacting their lives, and people get scared. And, you know, it's taken me a lot of years to learn what I do know about insurance, and I know your members don't know it. I know your members don't know this stuff. So I can tell them everything's going to be fine, but they've got to see it. So when they have issues, what we have to do is, instead of saying, hey, everybody's pissed and this isn't working, you find me one person at a time that I can get a chance to talk to and figure it out, I don't think you'll have anybody that's left behind if we do that.
When can we set these employee meetings for Franklin Township? Can you give us a call? When you have
You want to send me some dates that are available to you, and I'll try to make them work.
If you're willing to do it, you have any date you want.
Okay.
Literally.
Do you want to try to do 3 consecutive days? So you want to do a morning, a noon, and an evening?
We only need to do one a day, I think.
That's what I'm saying. One day a morning, one day a noon, one day an evening. So
it
kind of
it doesn't matter except for the other departments.
What's easier for you, Byron? You've got guys on shifts.
Afternoons are probably better if we could do a.
If we do like a 1 o'clock every day, then you got the fire department, road crew still here, and cops are switching shifts.
I'll do a 1 o'clock 3 days in a row. Let me go back to the office and see what 3 days I can make that work, and let's do it. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your business. You know, there's one thing I want you guys to remember here. I didn't just direct you to some program here. We're building this thing. We're getting thrown curveballs. We're figuring it out as we go. You know, we're dealing with some bad partners that aren't playing nice in the sandbox. And
it was a dream you had a couple years ago.
Yeah. It's true.
You kind of dreamed this up, made it work, got it off the ground.
Well, made it work might be a tough statement, but we're making it work.
I just remember it was your child that you put together.
It was. It was. Now I'm wondering if I should send him to reform school or not.
Now I understand why you said you had three kids to your left.
I should say four.
Should have kept your form,
with
Joe.
With mutual and everything, there's always a manual, an employee manual, or some sort of user's manual.
What do you think, Joe?
Is there going to be one come out at all of this?
Yeah, like for what?
Well, on the back of your card, if you get out a magnifying glass, look at that card.
Now, Brian, some of us are old.
It says you're supposed to be pre-qualified or pre-approved.
I can read it.
For almost everything except for a doctor's office visit.
Some of us that have old man glasses still can't read. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says members carry this card at all times. Pre-certification required. Contact AIM shows the number. Pre-certification is the member's responsibility. For any service more serious than a routine office visit, members should call in. 72 hours prior notification required for non-emergency services. Call within 48 hours after an emergency. Contact AIM regarding pre-certification for all the following. Any service more serious than a routine office visit, including but not limited to all inpatient stays, hospitals, LTAC, SNMS, rehab, MHC, DSA, all outpatient surgical interventions. I only know what one of those things is, but transplant services, including eval, so evaluation, home health, hospice, physical therapy, outpatient therapy, specialist therapy, MRA, CT, PET, and SPECT scans. Yeah, so that's for a lot of pre-certs. So what are you asking me?
Well, we need to come up with a manual so these guys know what to do and all the employees know how to use this health insurance.
Like an employee benefits packet?
Absolutely, just to make sure that they know how to
do it. So we have to call in before, like, say I'm getting a cavity, well, let's say I get my finger sewed back on or whatever.
Well, if you're getting your finger sewed back on, you don't have to call because all emergencies are covered.
Yeah.
But if you have a procedure that you need to get.
Like a special surgery.
If you have a procedure that you need to get.
For example, I have a hard time swallowing at times. And I just had a procedure done where they like stretch your throat and they go in. I didn't call in with my insurance. My doctor knew I had insurance and it took care of it.
Yeah, I'm going to bring them out
for
you.
Oh, thank you.
Well. A lot of times, first off, the answer is it shouldn't be any different than it was. So a lot of times, doctors know procedures that are going to be covered, so they don't get them pre-authorized, even though they should. You really probably shouldn't have had that procedure without a pre-authorization, even with Medical Mutual. But if a doctor's done it enough times and knows it's covered every time, they get it done. It's going to work the same way with us, but we would always encourage a pre-authorization.
So for us to call, so it's up to the employee?
No, a provider can call.
But it's our responsibility to make sure because it...
As it was before.
Had something not been clear, then it would be up to the employees to be able to cover that cost because they did not call in to check.
If it wasn't pre-authorized. That's right. But that's no different than the old contract you were on or any contract we've been on since 2009.
I didn't know that.
And by the way, we work for our members. Like, if there's a bad situation, we work hard. I just wanted those to go to department heads because I wanted you to look at them because I think this is what I'm going to use. And if you have any more suggestions, I'll take them.
Well, we got the EAP probably should be
It's actually, we moved to a company called AproRx, and you can go anywhere with them. You can go to any pharmacy. We've had, I don't know, we've probably had about 30 mail-ins is Novoxus. We've had about 30, if I were to take a guess, about 30 members call in and say, my pharmacy is not in network. I cannot go to my pharmacy. In every one of those situations we called up, and they were either already in the network or they jumped on the network. We have had zero disruption with pharmacy.
Well, in the past, I've always went to Sam's. I didn't know we used ours. What'd you say?
No, that's just the company, CVS Caremark. You can go anywhere you want to.
Yeah, I threw my first cards out because it said CVS.
Drugstores don't jump on any plan where they can sell pills, period. That's just about that simple.
Now that we're all incorporated in one,
right?
Why are we still going through the hoops here?
Right. Why are we still doing the funding? Great question. As of January 1st, or on this renewal, I'm going to give you an option to do away with the funding, so it's just a one-card system.
That would be sweet.
Now,
that's just what I was going
to
ask.
Here's something I need you to understand. One of the things that's happening right now is not all the claims are getting turned in. So I'm just letting you guys know that because not all the claims are getting turned in, that means if I put it on one card and all the claims start getting processed, you're still going to get a monthly bill because I'm still going to sell you the $5,000 and we'll do the claims behind the scenes and still bill you for it. But that average bill is going to go up. And what that is that's because members don't have to submit it anymore.
But rightfully so, the only thing right to do is go to a one-card system.
Fine.
Because you're.
But as an administration, you have to understand.
Right.
You're going to see a spike in those claims.
Right, it's going to go up a little bit.
It probably won't be huge.
It's got to be less than 10%.
I would bet it'll be 10 to 15%. But you need to be aware of that. But we can do it and your members are going to love it, yeah. Not having to deal with that.
It's going to be a lot better because a lot of times when you hand them two cards, they would bill Medical Mutual, but they wouldn't do the secondary. And then we really didn't know anything about it until we get some nasty letters.
Yep, and did you guys have, I can't remember, did you guys have one medical card, one prescription drug card?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So now, your medical and your prescription drug are on one card.
Now let's put the secondary on
and call it a day.
Yes.
And we can do that come January, but I'm going to show you some projections because you need to make a board decision. Because if it's going to cost your group $20,000, you know, which I'm making that number up, but I'll look at it what I think it'll cost you. You need to decide, is it worth all the members having to submit and hassles and checks, or just
clean cut?
Yeah.
It's well worth.
Okay. Well.
I'll make it.
Okay.
Brian, people are going to ask, because before we had MedMutual insurance and we went through them.
Yep.
So now it is full on OPEC-HC. You're paying the note for everything.
That's right. Open access.
So it's all through you. Now, are we going to stay that route, or is this another ploy like Insurant to drop our rate somewhere? Because
it is not a ploy.
We took a beating going to Assurant, or changed our insurance certificate. We had to deal with a lot of a mess for a year.
There's no intention. There's no intention. We're not trying to negotiate a contract or do. We believe this is the best route to go.
This is the system we're going, and we're all in on this. We're not.
The only way I could see it changing, which I don't expect this to happen, the only way I could see it changing is if we just had a mass exodus of groups.
Right.
And we had to run and hide with a carrier.
Right.
And that is not what we're expecting.
Okay.
We're expecting the support. We're not expecting the support from everyone. It is not going to surprise me at all if we continue to have groups peel off of this thing. But the groups that stick with it, I believe, are very strongly going to reap the rewards. This is something I've worked on for over a year. I firmly believe in it. Frank's coming around to believe in it real strong. You know, he's an old school broker. He's done fully insured business his whole career, but he worked every step of the way with us. We all 100% believe that this is a better model. The question is, can we get all the members to buy in, and can we make sure the members are taken care of? You guys are going to be the telltale sign of this program working or not. If the members give it a chance and work with it and work with us a little bit, it'll get real smooth real fast. If everyone bucks the system, it's going to be a rodeo for a while. So we just need everybody's help to say, okay, I'm buying it. I'm going to go anywhere I want to go, and that doctor's going to have to call in, and they're going to have to understand how they're going to get paid and work something out, right? If I have a problem, I'm going to call and figure it out. I'm going to be open-minded, and we're going to get this thing worked out. you know, once a doctor has an agreement, it's done. Any of your members can go to that doctor. What's the facility? We're working with Ohio. I told you, working with Ohio Health right now. They just said today, get us a little more information. Think we'll do a single patient agreement, which means everybody goes in and gets seen, just pays their copays, and we work it out behind the scenes. But leading to a full on contract, we believe this is the way.
So our certificate is now changing.
Your certificate was sent to Benovation and loaded. So, what if a member sees a change?
Call you.
Let us know, and we'll make sure to address it. But there was absolutely, the intention was to match the certificate. Exactly.
Gotcha. Very good. Because that's going to be the question. So, that's going to be the biggest one for us to have to deal with.
That's what I'm trying to tell people. We didn't change your benefits. Mm-hmm. What we changed is who processes your claims, and we took away the network. Everyone said, well, who's the insurance company? It says PCHS on here. PCHS is just if a doctor has that already. If they don't, it's not that you don't have coverage there. It's just we got to do it the way we plan to do it, which is to work with them. So we just took it away. You know, Medical Mutual didn't have everybody, and it didn't have limitations. This program does not have limitations. You go to who you want to go to. And I'll tell you what, it's pretty nice. If you need a specialized surgery, you know, before, you'd have to choose, do you go to the Cleveland Clinic? Do you go to Riverside? Do you go to Ohio Health? Who do you go to? Now, if you want to go to a place that specializes in the very best in the country in Arizona, go. Go to the place that does the very best work. Which I think is great. It's great for kids that have specialized stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's approved, yeah.
That's why it's the time you've got, because it's the first big thing is somebody's kid.
It'll get taken care of.
You know what I mean? So it's happening like this week. I'm like, Jesus.
It'll get taken care of. Right. Do you think after the meeting, would you have 5 minutes for me?
Yeah.
I'd like to write down some info on that.
Yes.
Because everybody that's in this program, I negotiated the deals and the contracts and have a relationship, and I'd like to just go ahead and make for damn sure.
We talked to Andrea or Andrea.
Yeah.
We talked to her a little bit ago, and trying to stay on top of this for the guy, just to reassure him.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just scary. Like I said, he's the beta test, and it's like the worst kind of beta test. You know, it's his kid.
And he has to enroll his kid within 30 days, make sure that goes smoothly.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a lot. I think he's going to end up really liking the nurses. She calls herself Nurse Deb.
Yeah.
And it's AIM, which is her last name's Alt. But Deborah Alt, Nurse Deb. She is a special kind of lady, and she's got a whole staff full of really special nurses over there, and they have already had positive impact on our group. We had a member call in, and I apologize, I'm not a doctor. I never even tried to think about going to medical school, but there was a surgery that needed to be done that the doctor recommended, a robotic surgery, and called in. It was like the day after we launched this program, and called in, and the member said, hey, I'm due for this robotic surgery. And Nurse Deb was able to actually field the call herself, Deb Alt, and she said, well, I'll tell you, you know, that surgery, and she's looking through all our manuals, and she goes, that's a surgery that rarely gets pre-authorized for robotics. Did you have this pre-authorized with Medical Mutual? Well, no, we didn't. We expected the doctor to. She said, well, also, I'd like to know, I think it's laparoscopic, is that the correct term?
Okay.
Yeah, so laparoscopic. Has a better clinical outcome with less infection for this specific surgery. Would you mind if I talk to your doctor? She then called the doctor, and they talked about it together, and the doctor just didn't have as much information on it that she actually had, and the doctor reached out to the patient and said, after the information was provided for me, I actually think I'd prefer you have this done laparoscopically. Laparoscopic.
Speaking of, I was just sitting there.
And she did, and got it pre-approved, and it's done now.
The guy we're talking about is next door, so maybe after this meeting, I think he would love to shake your hand, if you could assure him that everything's going to be cool.
Well, I can tell him that we'll do our very best, and I expect everything to be good.
Okay.
There's already predicted complications with the situation. That's why we're coming.
Well, and I want to see what he's already done so far. Yeah. We may even make some calls right now.
Good. I like that line.
Cool. I'm not scared to get in there.
All right. Good.
You guys satisfied with our time today?
You already answered my questions.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I do want to talk to you now.
Hey, John. If you have my cell phone number, will you take it? Because if you have...
Lisa.
Go ahead. 614.
I'm waiting on Mr. Cook.
595. 9492. You know, I know there's a lot of tough info out there, but if you want direct answers to questions, call me.
You gave a lot that was here, and I would love to have this meeting.
I haven't talked to you for a while. It's been a while. You've got to come visit.
Our meeting made a huge difference.
I had a feeling.
Trustee Cook was asking me to come.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second the other pages.
Yes. John, Don, Ralph.
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.